Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we have come today to the beginning. Well, actually, we're in Revelation chapter 12, and we have come to verse 6. We have already, in fact, maybe if you weren't with us, I'll read again what has taken place so far and what we've talked about so far in our study of this book of Revelation. Hallelujah. I'll read it to you from the King James today. And there appeared a great wonder, we know that word is sign, in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We took you back to Joseph's dreams and proved to you from Genesis 37, 9 and 10 that this is Israel. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This is the first appearance in the book of Revelation of the beast. We'll deal with him later on, but verse 9 tells us for sure who this is. It is Satan. It is the devil. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the ground. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child, was caught up to heaven and to his throne. Now I'm going to begin with verse 6. That's where we left off yesterday. Here's verse 6. Revelation 12, 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that she would be nourished for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. As we've been studying the book of Revelation, we've been looking at Dr. Hilton Sutton's book. We've been looking at several others and considering them. None of us know everything. And some things I look at and I think, well, I think he's right. And then I look at some others and say, well, he could be right. And then I thought, well, I got another thing to think about here too. So what we're doing, we're not arguing. I was just telling my grandson, Brandon, how they do it in Israel at the yeshivas. They will take, and I had given him some translations of the Proverbs, which I have, Mishlei is the name for the Proverbs, and I told him how to use them. And they will have the translation, they'll have the verse, and then they'll have what two or three rabbis say about it, and these are ancient sages. And I said, in the yeshivas, they'll take a verse, and they'll argue it. One young man will be told, you take Rashi's point of view. Another will be told, you take the Rambam. And the other will be told, you take the Vilna Gaon. So they're arguing. And then you go in there, I'm telling you, it's all around the room because there are several tables of these people. And in groups of about two or three. And then comes time for lunch, up they go, arms around each other, and out they go to lunch. We need to learn a lesson from them. We Christians fight over our point of view, and the devil's easily able then to bring schisms and division. But so I'm not fighting over any of this, and I'm not claiming to be the great know-it-all. But I'm just telling you what I'm reading and what I'm studying, and we're looking at this together because the Lord told us to do it. And then we looked at Dr. Hilton Sutton, and he believes that this describes Satan's initial fall. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And of course, then he would see this as informational to us. To study the fall of Satan, the initial fall, I recommend my own book, The Blood and the Glory, where I go into detail about it. Also, comments from the Companion Bible on the world that then was. Particularly study the scriptures of Genesis 1:1-3, Isaiah 14:12-14, Isaiah 45:18, Ezekiel 28, Jeremiah 4:23-27, and 2 Peter 3:5-6. Those scriptures you can study from the Companion Bible, and they're also each one of those are marked out in my book, The Blood and the Glory. Satan was cast out of the heaven of heavens, where the throne of God is. Adam, however, allowed Satan to set up his powers of the air kingdom in the mid heavens, above earth, and under the third heaven. That's where Satan's throne is. Satan's throne, and we went into a great deal about it when we studied Pergamum. Satan's seat. Jesus spoke of Satan's seat being at Pergamum in Revelation 2:13, and you can go back to July, and you can go on our archives at billybrim.org, and we went into great detail about this kingdom which surrounds earth. It's a dark kingdom, a kingdom of darkness. Satan's throne is not in hell. It is there in that mid heavens, and there you can see where he is now operating. He's called the Prince of the Powers of the Air, the God of this world. His time there is limited. Adam is the one who gave him access to that place. Adam was supposed to have ruled from there, but he did not do it. So right now it's the powers of the air are Satan and his dark princes. We've seen in the book of Daniel, the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Grecia, but they're coming down. And I can see in the passage in Revelation that we're reading the past, the present, and the future. And I can see what David Barron pointed out, that with prophecy, there can be a filling, subsequent fillings, and then a full filling. For instance, in Isaiah 7:14, we read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Now, we know, of course, from progressive revelation in the New Testament, and revelation is progressive. From progressive revelation in the New Testament, we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Matthew 1:20. "When he had considered this," this is Joseph, "behold, an angel," Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins.'" That's what Yeshua means, salvation. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." I have just read you Matthew 1:20-23. Now, a Jewish rabbi from America visiting in Israel when I was at the language school confronted me about the flat fact that the Hebrew word in Isaiah 7:14 does not mean virgin, but means a young woman. And it's true. Isaiah 7:14 reads in the Hebrew, a young woman shall be with child, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." Now look at the next verses in the Hebrew. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows, and I'm talking about Isaiah 7:15. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. The Lord will bring, or Jehovah will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. So he is foretelling what's going to happen when Babylon comes and carries them away. There was a young woman living at that time. She had a son. She named him Emmanuel. Before he was old enough, before he was very old, these things happened. The immediate filling of the prophecy. But the New Testament is progressive revelation, and so we see that the fulfilling of the prophecy, and it's here in the New Testament, we find out she was a virgin that God was speaking about, Mary, the Virgin Mary. Behold, the virgin, Matthew 1:23, shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now we see that Isaiah 14:7 is fulfilled. Also with prophecy, the prophet can skip hundreds or thousands of years at what is presented to us with a comma. For instance, what Jesus said in Luke 21, and remember in Luke 21, it is the surrounding of the second temple by Titus and the Romans that Jesus speaks of, which occurred 40 years after he prophesied it in the year 70 AD. Jesus, when he talks about this, we're going to look at this tomorrow, because today I want to especially invite you to be with us for our Autumn Assembly of Prayer in Branson, Missouri, October 25th through 29th at the Hilton Assembly Center. I wish you'd ask the Lord if he'd like you to be there. Everyone knows, Brother Wiseman, if you've heard anything at all, you know who he is, a prophet of God. Lynn Hammond, we all sense that this is such a time that we have to come together for the United States of America. It happens to be, and anything else God wants us to pray about. The 4,000 people who will be coming come to work with God. It's a different kind of a meeting, and there is always a real manifestation of his presence. And so we'd invite you to come and be with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Lynn Hammond, Chip Brim, and me. And of course, the Lord is sending Brother Wiseman and others that he will use as he wants to. And to find out more about it, you can go on billybrim.org or phone us at 1-800-972-3447. We will be getting together October 24th that night for prayer. But the meeting officially starts October 25th through 29th. We end with a big tent meeting out on Prayer Mountain on Monday. And we invite you to register and let us know you're coming. Go online or telephone us to register, and we'll have a welcome packet ready for you and your name tag, because you matter to us. Shalom, shalom.